Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Life can be overwhelming at times, but Scripture promises that God will give us perfect peace if our minds are stayed on Him, for the Lord God is everlasting strength. Therefore, look to Him, abide in Him, because peace or panic stem from whatever we look to or dwell on. Please open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of verses 1 through 3.
When Paul the Apostle was on his way to an uncertain future in Jerusalem, only knowing that bonds and imprisonments awaited him, he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." So a question I have to ask myself this morning, what's my joy level? The Christian life is meant to be one of joy. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You see, our level of joy is really associated with what is the object of our joy. If it's anything other than Jesus, plunge. And we need to run this race with patience. How many of you, I know we have dentists in our congregation and doctors, and you have patience. I understand that. This is not that word. How do you run with patience? You pace yourself, right? Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me." This cross-bearing, living for Christ, and serving one another, in my opinion, is so contrary to the country club Christianity that is so popular today. Leonard Ravenhill once said in his book, Why Revival Tarries, "The early church was a lifeboat for rescuing the perishing. Today's church is a cruise ship for pampering the prosperous. The early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions. Today, the church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity." Sad but true. Check out what are the best-selling Christian books. Jesus told us that we are to run this race with patience. In patience, possess your souls. There we are to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. James writes in chapter 5, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Any of you have a hard time with patience? Not you that are medical. Anybody have a hard time with patience? Did you ever go through a drive-thru, like a McDonald's or Burger King or something, and you wonder, this is the drive-thru. What's taking so long? Or you go, like the last few weeks, you go to a grocery store. We go to Wegmans. It's been a zoo. And everybody's filling up their carts, and then they're looking for the one. Not even the express lane isn't fast enough. We just have this tendency to want what we want now. But good things come to those who wait upon the Lord. Have you found that to be true? Yes, amen. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Yes. So what do we do? Let's retreat. Let's become a Christian country club. No. You know what we do? We get ready. We watch. We look. We pray. The harvest is plentiful. but the laborers are few. Who will go for us? The Lord God said to Isaiah. We normally reply, who will go for us? There's Dina. There's Dylan. Someone else will do it. Someone else will pick up the slack. Someone else will do it at church. Someone else will do it at the job. Someone else will step in. Not me. Not me. Where do we find the patience to run this race? Where do we find the patience to finish when we are feeling weary, discouraged, tempted, beloved? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Endured the cross. Doesn't say he enjoyed it. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible talks about how Moses himself, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the government. He endured because he saw him who was invisible. How do you and I endure? By keeping our eyes on him that is invisible. How do you see him who is invisible? By faith. That's how we endure. By keeping our eyes on Jesus. Crucifixion was considered a shameful way to die, a humiliating way to die. And yet Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we must pick up our cross. How often? Every day? What if I don't feel like it? You don't get a vote. What are the Puritans, Thomas Brooks? This is tough. That's a disclaimer. I'm not apologizing for what it says, but it's tough before I say it. The daily sight of a bleeding, groaning, dying Savior is the only thing that will subdue and mortify darling sins. Oh, friends, never leave looking up to a crucified Christ until virtue flows from him to the crucifying of those special besetting sins which do most obstruct and hinder the growth of grace and holiness in the soul. Looking unto Jesus. There's a lot of voices that are wanting our attention. There's political voices. Look over here. There's an upswing of the medical voices. Look over there. There's all kinds of voices wanting us to look either this way or that way. Beloved, if you and I get drawn into any of those voices, will plunge. There's only one to look at that helps us stay on track and make a difference in this world. And that's by following the Lord Jesus Christ. But many times we are obsessed with what other people are doing. Well, what's Dylan doing? What's Vic doing? It's kind of like when Jesus told Peter how he was going to die, a death that glorified him. And so what did Peter do? I'm not surprised. He says, well, what about John? And the Lord said, Johnny boy is none of your business. You keep your eyes on me. Beloved, you and I, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's exhort one another. Let's challenge one another. Let's be done with these gooey, gooey, oh, my feelings are so hurt. Hurt them if it's with the truth. We need to finish well, beloved. I was just thinking as we turn this calendar year, Lord willing, starting next year is our 40th year together since our first service in 40 years. It's only by the grace of God we're here. And it has nothing to do with this guy with the microphone. I can tell you that. Just ask my wife. If you have any doubts, she'll dispel them. It's because of the grace of God. And if there's one thing that we're learning, keep your eyes on him. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Look up. Your redemption draws near. There's a lot of things in this world that can take away our peace, our joy. You know, the news media gets paid to cause you to fear. You know that? They get paid to cause you to fear. They do it pretty good. But the prophet Isaiah says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he's trusting you. How do you keep your mind stayed on him? Well, you have to cultivate as a runner a good devotional time with the Lord. You need to learn how to get in your closet, wherever that is, read your Bible and pray and just listen to the Lord, talk to the Lord, renew your mind with the Word of God. If you haven't, that's what you need to do. And many times in our life, we simply are overwhelmed, like King Jehoshaphat was when he was surrounded by these impending armies. And then here's the leader. Listen to this. Here's the leader. There's the enemy surrounding the people of God. And here's Jehoshaphat, okay? Here's your leader. God, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. No matter what. Now, I'm going to speak Greek here for a second. Come hell or high water, we're keeping our eyes on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Peace or panic, comfort or chaos in this race depends on what or who you look at. The world wants you to be conformed to their image. That's why they have ads. God has redeemed us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's why you're exhorted to look unto him. Jesus despised the shame. And Isaiah talks about how he hid not his face from shame and spitting. How he was despised and rejected of men. How he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Reformation Study Bible tells us that Christ endured his sufferings for the joy set before him. The present sufferings of Christians do not outweigh the grace, glory, and joy of what we will receive when Christ comes. And what was the joy? What is it that gave Jesus joy? The joy to pick up his cross. Well, A, he knew he was doing the Father's will. And you know another reason why? Because he had you in mind. He knew that if he didn't go to the cross, you and I would not be given the privilege to come and worship him together. You realize what a blessing this is? You realize what a privilege? This is a blood-bought privilege that we get. We get to do this. We get to worship our King. We get to sit together and hear the Word of God and say, God, change us. Mold us. May we be individually in a congregational, in a congregation that is about your business, that is reaching the lost for Christ, that is being made disciples. Remember when it was on the cross that Jesus told the repentant thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And one day it's going to be your today and my today. Question is, if you've never received Christ, where would that be? You see, a decision to live without Christ on earth is a decision to live without Christ forever. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm telling you, saints, and you know it, you're feeling it, you're experiencing it. I talk to many of you. The heat is on. To be devoted to the God of this book, the Savior of this book, and to the truth of this book, we are under attack. With all due respect to all the losses that took place on September 11, 2001, we are under a more severe attack than what happened then. an attack for the souls of Christ, an attack for our witness. Saints, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. I think of how the apostles, when they were severely beaten, in Acts 5:41, it says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, life is tricky, isn't it? It's unpredictable. It's kind of like the weather. Have you found that to be so? And I can tell you this. We will never become spiritual adults if we are always dodging the lessons that God is trying to teach us. There's a lot of reasons why there are trials, but when they are responded to properly, they're always fruitful. Some of our trials in our life are corrective. Some are instructive. Many of them are self-made. But through all the trials, God is gracious, God is good, God is merciful, and we need to learn to trust in him. Beloved, our times are in his hands. Beloved, James tells you and me that we are to count it all joy, because in God's economy, it's the trials in this race, it's the opposition in this race that are designed not to deflate us, but to make us stronger and to show us that without him, we can do nothing. They are meant to inspire us to look to Jesus, fixing our eyes on him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing right now? He's praying for you and I. Isn't that wonderful? I love it when I hear people say, oh, we pray for you. Oh, wonderful. I'm so thankful. I thank God for every prayer that you got. In fact, every one of my daily prayers is, Lord, whoever prayed for me today, bless them, answer their prayers exceeding abundantly above all that they could ever ask or think. I said that because maybe that will inspire you to pray for me more. So there's a little selfishness. But Jesus is interceding for us right now. Consider him, verse 3. Consider him. Consider him, beloved. The prophet Haggai told a group of people who began doing the work of the Lord, and then they began to become a little bit settled in with this world, and instead of devoting themselves and their time and their giftings to the work of the Lord, they started building their own house. And the prophet Haggai says, hey, wait a minute, wait. Consider your ways. Why is it that you have all this time and all this energy and all this money for that, and my house is in disrepair? Consider your ways. I need to consider my ways. And as far as opposition, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Anybody ever get weary in their walk? Why do I not get much more participation than the same 10 people every week? Lord, you get weary. When the Bible says don't get weary, you know why? He's talking to people who are feeling wearied. When the Bible says don't be afraid, he's talking to people who are afraid. When he's saying don't be discouraged, he's talking to people that are discouraged. So we get there. Don't condemn yourself. God says, listen, saints. No, he's saying it lovingly. I can say, I'm not like the school teacher. No, listen, class. No. If I'm doing it, it's me. Listen, class. I'm here, but I'm there, okay? You get weary? You get discouraged? Think of what Jesus went through. Read Isaiah 53. And he did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for us to inspire us. Scripture does not promise an easy trial or difficult free life. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, one of the most glorious chapters in the book of Romans. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There are sufferings in this present life. There is sufferings in this flesh. Peter says, for as much then, 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And so today is reset time. Reset time for me. Not because I'm the pastor of the church, but as a blood-bought child of God like you, getting my eyes on Jesus. And I want to give you an amazing promise for those who are feeling weary and weak this morning. It's not from the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a promise. That's a promise. Is it the desire of your heart this morning to finish? I hope it is. If it's not your desire, you're not going to finish. You're not going to count the cost. It's just going to be the status quo. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. No. No, we are exhorted this morning to fix our eyes on Jesus. And I don't know what your weights may be. I don't know what your easily besetting sin may be. It's not for me to point them out. It's not for me, God forbid, to judge. But it is for me to bring them to your attention because the Lord knows what they are. Has he been tugging at your heart? Have you found yourself not having time for devotions, not having time for church, not having time for fellowship, but you have time for fill in the blank? That's a choice. That's a choice. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, but seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus told the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 that had incredible, impeccable doctrine. They had so many things going well for them. He says, nevertheless, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. And maybe that's you this morning. And maybe this life has gotten the best of you. You know what? Jesus isn't here with a club to hit you over the head. He's here saying, look at me, look what I went through for you. And when you do that with your heart, you will find the strength and you will find the grace and you will find the power and you will find a renewed desire to live for the reason why I redeemed you, to live for Christ and to die as gain. We're responsible to run in order to win. But the courage and the power and the strength that we need to live a gospel-shaped, Christ-focused life does not come from religion. It does not come from programs. It comes by the Spirit of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. What is Christmas all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, who was born in a manger, lived on this earth for 33 years, and died to take away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, is the central theme of all Scripture, and also the theme of our Christmas messages here at Koinonia. He is our light in the darkness, bringing perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed upon Him. May we lift up our Redeemer Jesus this Christmas and pray that many would see the glory of God in the face of our precious Lord and Savior. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Special service times this week are at 9 and 11 o'clock Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.